views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of the station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
That moment when you realize you have mastered your wellness, when you become so resilient you can conquer any hiccup life throws you. Yeah, well, me either. But I still ride unicorns. I'll teach you how to become a mindset master. You will learn how your habits and behavior affect your success in nutrition, exercise, relationships, organization, and so much more. It's your reality, and you need to do it your way. Self-care and self-love are anything but selfish. Take charge. Get excited. If not now, then when? Grab your espresso and get ready to talk all things wellness. It's time for Coach Couch and Coffee Radio with Coach Peggy Wellness right now.
Hey, everybody. Welcome. Welcome to Coach Couch and Coffee Radio. I'm Coach Peggy. So happy to be here with you on Transformation Talk Radio. I've got my unicorn mug. You know, I always have that. And unicorns in a field of horses is my mug today. I'm actually on the road, which is kind of, you're probably saying, well, how can she do that? So I have these really cool backdrops I probably haven't mentioned to you guys before, or it's been a while. So I have probably 100 of them. And I'm able to put them up and go wherever, hotels, visit my kids, which is what I'm doing right now in Colorado. So I've left my state of Florida, which is under a hurricane watch. So pray for them, pray for our location, our house where we live. So I just wanted to let you know I am in, there is no oxygen here. I forgot what it's like here. So today, what are we going to talk about today? We're going to talk about procrastination and disorganization and how those two are evil twins and what comes before, the chicken or the egg. What comes before? Are you procrastinating and then you're disorganized, or are you disorganized and then you procrastinate? Who knows, right? We're going to tackle this. So I'm here with you every Monday night. You can always email me at coachpeggy@threewellnesspillars.com. I really love to hear from you. Some of the stories are pretty funny. So reach out to me here every single Monday night, 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 Pacific. And tonight what we're going to do, I'm actually going to break this into four radio shows. Why? First, I was going to do procrastination and disorganization in one show. Then I was like, man, this is a lot of content. I could just talk forever about this. Then I thought I'd break it into two shows. Well, now I've decided I'm going to talk to you about procrastination for two shows, then disorganization for two shows. So you got me in the month of September, starting today, all the way through to talk about this for you, because it is so important. I can tell you these are the top two subjects that affect wellness and that I've heard of and seen affect wellness in all my years. So it's really important that we chat about it. We're going to take care of part one of two parts for procrastination starting today. We're going to get into it. And I know you're going to have lots of questions. So pay attention to this one, and you can watch each of the sequential ones as they kind of come out. All right. So what are we going to cover in all of these weeks? So let me just reel it out to you. We're going to talk about what is procrastination. We're going to talk about how many people procrastinate. We all do it. We know that. But how many really procrastinate? Why? Why do we procrastinate? What are the pros and cons? Because there actually are some pros and cons. And then we're going to talk about, let's see, what others think of you. You know, others have opinions of you if you procrastinate. Some of them are not so good. We have opinions of ourselves even. And then we're going to talk about some tips to improve your procrastination. Really good ones. Really, really good ones. And then we're going to talk about how it actually affects your wellness in a negative way. Sometimes people will say procrastinating actually gives them more insight. They're more successful. We're going to talk about that as well. So I hope you're ready to get started. A bunch of people procrastinate, even millionaires procrastinate. Very, very successful people procrastinate. And really what's frustrating with procrastination is, for me as a coach, is that there are certain things we just need to do. And it kind of makes sense to me, right? We got to do this, 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 and this in order for this to happen. Well, if you're naturally a procrastinator, it's hard for people to sit back and as a procrastinator and go, there are just certain things in life we have to do. They just are. There's certain rules, regulations that have to be done at certain times. One of them that comes to me more specific than any other is taxes. Taxes have to be done at a certain time. And people will put it right up to the very end to get those accomplished. So taxes is a big one that probably the majority of us, or getting our plates on our car. That's another big one, I think. I was famous for doing that for a very long time. So we know that professionally and personally, procrastination affects not only us, but others. And so we want to make sure that you think about this. Do you often struggle starting a project or ending a project, or maybe both? And then we know that procrastination is really subjective, because I know you're probably thinking right now, well, my level of procrastination is probably different than Peggy's, is different than, you know, John's, whoever. But true procrastination, you guys know who you are. You put off even doing the things you love to do. You put off things, doing things with people you love to do them with. And even the things that you know are the healthiest for you, going to a physician. How many women I have heard over the years that put off their pap smears, or, you know, having their, you know, breast exam, stuff like that. Guys never go to the doctor till they have to. Okay, so let's talk about what procrastination is. The actual definition of it is the act of delaying or postponing. Simple. Makes sense, right? It's very, very simple. So what are the percentages of people who procrastinate? I think, honestly, this is one of those that you, any article you see or any study you see, that probably going to vary a little bit. The percents would vary. But I'm going to share this one with you. When we look at the percentages of why people procrastinate, the numbers are so different out there. I'm going to share with you one that I came across that probably is pretty much accurate. So 41% of people don't feel like they want to do the project to begin with, so they'll procrastinate about it. 25% say they don't have time. Good God, I hear that a million times. We just don't have time to get it done, and they put it off. 24% do not feel it's urgent at all. And then 10% are not sure what to do. I love that one. I don't know what to do. I'm just standing here, Beetlejuicing. My head's kind of spinning around. I don't know what to do. So there's some other things out there that say that random, you know, like a general percent is that 20% of us procrastinate. I'm going to give you one more number. So the University of Calgary, there's a psychologist that did a study in 07. He says about 70 to 90% of students 70 to 90% of students procrastinate. And these are the findings that he had. And they're not shocking, that students perform more poorly. They feel miserable. They put off paying taxes just like we do. Goodness. Suffer from medical problems, sleep issues. Obviously, they're not going to save for retirement. But those are one of the things that when we all put it off, we're not saving until the last day. When you turn 60, we start saving for retirement. So those are some of the things. But why do we procrastinate? The number one thing I think that we procrastinate about is emotion. Because you guys know I teach 3 wellness pillars: exercise, nutrition, and mindset. I really think it's kind of the mindset is the first thing that we need to kind of pay attention to. It keeps us on track. And it's emotion. So one of the things that I believe with is, number one, is the emotion piece of it. Because human behavior, honestly, is driven mostly by emotion. So what feels good, we're going to do. And what doesn't feel good, we ain't going to do. So if there's whether it's a project, whether it is seeing someone or an activity, even you join softball and you think you want to do softball, and then you find out you really don't want to do it because you sweat a bunch or you twisted your ankle, we're not going to do it if we don't want to do it. But we are going to do those things that feel good. So what feels good? Sitting on the couch, eating, you know, watching TV, playing video games, whatever, donuts. Does studying for an exam sound fun? No, it doesn't. Housework? No. Dishes? No. Going to the gym sometimes? No. So pain and negative feelings are going to keep you most often from doing something. That being said, the other one is energy, low energy. So when you have a task, a tough task you're going to do, and you're not rested, and you're negatively, you know, having a negative emotion, you know, right now you are less apt to get up and be super excited with tons of willpower to say, oh my gosh, I am going to hit the gym or go for a run, or I'm going to start a new project. I'm going to rearrange the linen closets or prepare my food for the week. The odds are so low, stacked against you, that if you are low in energy and low on having negative emotion, that you're going to do those things. So we know that. We also know that those people who are impulsive are also big procrastinators. So why? Why is that? One of the main reasons is that the more impulsive we are, they actually live more in the moment than those of us who don't procrastinate. I'm not a huge procrastinator, but I also don't live in the moment a lot. So if you're living in the moment and able to, you're rafting, you're doing whatever, and you've got to start studying Friday night for an exam Monday morning, but you're having a blast rafting. And then someone says, hey, when we're done rafting, you know, let's go out and have dinner and drinks. And then tomorrow morning when you wake up, you feel like crap. You know, you've got 24 hours now that's gone, but you're in the moment having a good time. Most procrastinators are impulsive, going to keep doing what feels good, meandering through life. So one of the other things is self-regulation, or kind of the inability. I don't want to say it's disorganized. You know, you can be an organized, disorganized person. Yes, you know right where everything is. But the self-regulating piece, not being able to problem solve perhaps, or look at things in an organized fashion, step-by-step fashion, is another reason many people procrastinate. They just can't see those steps. And then irrational beliefs. I told you there's no oxygen here. So sips. Cheers to me. Having a sip of coffee. Yeah. I hope you guys are having a sip too. Taking notes of all these irrational beliefs I'm about to tell you about. So irrational beliefs, many times those don't make any sense to anybody else except yourself. And you spin those in your head over and over. That movie just plays over and over. And they can be really self-handicapping. And they can be at a level, an unconscious level, that you don't even have a clue that are happening. So what happens when you have, let's start with low self-esteem or low confidence level. You can create scenarios, concoct situations that you don't even really believe are happening. You don't really know that they're happening, but you believe you're going to be a failure. You don't think that you're going to get the job or done to begin with, and set yourself up to fail with saying things like, I didn't have time. I didn't have the ability. And you could have, but you just didn't have, you know, you had that irrational belief of you created the handicap, per se, is the word I guess I'm looking for. So what about being threatened by success? I hear this several times, and you wouldn't think that I would. So I have people that lose weight and they get close and close to goal. And I'll warn them. I'll say, hey, what are you going to do when people stop saying, you know, you look like $1 million bucks. You've lost so much weight. You have more energy. And I'll say, be ready, because a lot of people, when they've spent their life gaining and losing weight, they don't know what to do when they get around that maintenance level, that maintenance weight, and they're going to be there. I mean, where do the compliments come from? And it sounds weird, but that happens. So when you think about being threatened by success, what are you going to do when you get there, when you get to be successful? This happens sometimes with people that go off to college, and maybe they're the first generation person in their family going to college. And then there are obstacles that they'll create to set themselves up for failure, such as, you know, my parents are getting together this weekend with family members I haven't seen for a long time, or it's the holidays, or maybe grandma's sick and I've got to go home and take a month break from school because I've got to take care of her. So there's all these obstacles that they put in place to be able to then kind of set themselves up to fail, because they see that success. No one's graduated in the family before. I'm the first one. I hope some of these are resonating with you guys. This stuff happens. So what about being a perfectionist? I've talked about this subject to nauseam. You guys have heard this on several of the shows, videos. But perfectionistic tendencies. How's that? Enunciated very well. So when you're a perfectionist, good God, who wouldn't want to procrastinate half the time with that? Add it in there, I have no time. Let's put that excuse in there. But when you are a perfectionist, you are going to make sure you do everything properly. And often, if you don't know how to self-regulate your time that it takes to do those things, you're going to be right up against the deadline. And out there, I always quote, some studies say, bosses really would rather have you touch base with them and tell them how you're doing and turn something in than have it be, quote unquote, perfect, then waiting for it to be Monday morning, 8 o'clock, the project's due. And you know what I'm saying? They want to make sure that the job gets done, not that it's done perfectly. So that is one of the other things that I see that procrastinators have, is a perfectionism piece. What about this? Being a thrill seeker, huh? So thrill seekers love, I have a little bit of this. Thrill seekers love to do stuff right up to the 11th hour. They love to know when something is due. And plus, they have a history typically of being successful at it, which can set themselves up to fail. So they have a habit of something is due in a week, project at work or school, and that PowerPoint comes out crisp and beautiful and clean for the presentation, but they actually didn't even get it done until midnight last night. So those thrill seekers are like living right on that edge, right on the edge of that deadline. So that excitement of being a thrill seeker and doing it right up to the last minute, just think about if the power goes out or if traffic is an issue or you get hurt or sick, that's not going to work for you, even if you thought you've been amazingly, you know, successful at that in the past. So those are some of the reasons people are procrastinators. Okay, now we're going to talk about why else? Well, willpower, I hear this all the time. I think maybe you guys have heard me say, I have a mantra out there I always say is don't expect willpower to show up in the mail or an email. And it just doesn't. I believe there's a willpower muscle in our body that has to be, it just has to be strengthened. And over time, you have to do little baby step things, take risks, get outside your comfort zone and keep, you know, I guess, you know, strengthening it to be stronger and stronger so that in situations such as hitting a hard exercise program, you're going to have the willpower more naturally and easily to go do that, to get it done. So when you think about, there's three things. There is nature, nurture, and practice when you think about willpower, once you think about those three things. So when you think about nature, you actually, there is some hereditary genetic disposition with some people with willpower. I don't know how to explain it, but that's what all the bigwigs out there say. There is something to do with that, with nature. So if you were blessed with that, some willpower that just seems naturally, you're surrounded with it, yay, kudos, blessings to you. And then there's the nurturing piece of it. The nurturing piece is that upbringing. Do you guys know that we experience about a million influences in our life? It blows my mind, but a million different influences, people are going to come across you in your life, say certain things that are going to embed. And of course, that is the nurturing piece, the upbringing piece, where you have adults that will influence you one way or the other. Actually, they can go positive or negative with willpower. And then there's the practice that I was talking about. And you can grow or shrink your willpower over time. And some of the ways that you can grow it are actually what we talk about in my world of wellness: exercising regularly, eating nutritionally, living a disciplined life. Okay, so optimizing sleep and getting outside of your comfort zone is the major one that I see, that we all have to get out of our comfort zone. We all get comfortable, me included. Like, you would not believe I can get super comfortable. So to increase your willpower, you got to get outside of your comfort zone to increase that willpower muscle. All right, so I want to give you a quick scenario, just real quick. Two people, let me come up with some names. Jen and Casey, I'll make it up. So who has more willpower? So Jen gets up, she is same time in the morning, she heads into the kitchen, flips on her, grabs a glass of water, flips on the coffee pot, hops in the shower, everything is cranking at the same time, turns on the laptop, everything's starting to boot up. She gets dressed, and this gal works at home, let's say Jen works from home, and she heads out into the living room and she just starts working at her desk, short period of time. Let's talk about Casey. Casey the procrastinator. Casey has every single intention in her life of doing what Jen did. But she wakes up. Here comes social media. She looks at her phone. She throws on some sweats. Maybe she sits on the couch a little bit and then remembers she wants coffee and she starts the coffee. Then she goes back and starts Facebook, thinking that the coffee, when it's done, she'll start working. And so all these little interruptions, because she lives in the moment. She's one of those, let's say. By now, Jen is about 15, 30 minutes into her 2 hours she's going to set up to work, because she is very regimented and regular in her work. She's going to work for just 2 hours today. Jen has blown through about 30 minutes and has no clue how long she was going to work out, you know, do her work today. But those two scenarios, probably a lot of you relate mostly to Casey, the second person who kind of gets up and randomly goes through her morning. So which one do you want to be? Do you want to be Jen? Do you want to be Casey? Okay, before we end this show, I want to cover just a few more things. I want to talk about some of the reasons that people are really afraid of, you know, fear of failure. Some of the reasons people don't start. We've talked about many already, but fear of failure, not wanting to start a project. They don't think they can finish, fail at it. Fear of success. We chatted about that. Fear of self-worth, worrying about the quality of work. People do worry about that. Hey, if I can't do it perfectly, I'm not going to do it all. Thinking about focusing on the outcome. That's another big, big one I see with wellness. They focus on the outcome instead of the process or, you know, the baby steps as they go along. It's really important to not think about the end game. So if someone wants to lose 50 pounds, they're not living in the moment doing step by step, and they're going to procrastinate. I see this so much. Until that doctor says you've got to drop 50 pounds, they don't give me a buzz. And we need to be doing those baby steps before that. So focus on the outcome, not, you know, don't focus on the outcome, focus on the steps up to that. Too many options. That's one more thing to think about, is to narrow down some of those options and not keep them so broad. Kind of just keep hunkering down those options and think about maybe the top two that work for you. All right. Pros to procrastinating. Let's talk. Okay. Pros of procrastinating. The only reason that there's really a pro when you say you procrastinate, and I had to have a come to Jesus with this with myself. The only reason you were successful is that you blocked out your whole entire life. You set up the time, you told people not to call, you didn't exercise, you didn't eat, you didn't do anything. And that's really why you got the project done, honestly. I don't think there's anything that you guys can tell me that would, if you're a true procrastinator, that I would support you in saying that it's a pro that you keep putting it off and putting it off. With the exception of you have to think through some things to do it well, or baby step projects if it's huge. But anyway, so what do others think? This is the last thing I'm going to tell you before the end of the show. Then we're going to go into the after party. What do people think of you if you procrastinate? Well, reality is you might think of this too. She's lazy. She's a slob. They might disrespect you, think you have lack of self-control, lack of self-management, all those things. And we feel that of ourselves, you guys. So my biggest procrastination, maybe it's popped up on the screen there, I wanted to share it with you guys, is I procrastinate about eating when I'm working. Yep, I do. And I set up some alarms to have me get up away from my desk so that I eat. So thank you so much for joining me today. I'm going to take a break. And when we come back, we're going to have the after party. I'm going to share some scenarios that we can kind of break it down a little bit about procrastination part one. Part two is coming up with you next week. It's on September 9th. And you can reach me at Coach Peggy at 3wellnesspillars.com. And that's every Monday at 3 Pacific, 6 Eastern. So you guys get real and keep it real. Talk to you soon. Take care.
Thank you for listening to Coach Couch and Coffee Radio with me, Coach Peggy Wells. Did you hear something that made you go, or have an aha moment? I live for those. If not, we will get you next time. I will be back every first and third Monday at 3 p.m. Pacific to tough love you to become smarter, stronger, braver, healthier, and happier. Duh. I will be back with a barrel of positivity, and you never know when a guest might pop in. There is no time for excuses. So don't forget to bring your coffee and an open mind as we talk all things wellness on Coach Couch and Coffee Radio with me, Coach Peggy Wells. Now go grab a ray of sunshine.